Topic I want to talk about today is Hashem's name. In this week's parsha, we have Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu what name should he use when he comes to Klal Yisrael to present that he's Hashem's messenger to them. And we're given a name which we don't use regularly, that the name that he's told, but generally it's some form of the name of Havaya, Hashem being the source of existence. Next week's parsha again, we talk about there's different names and why this name, what that name, etc. So just before I go to the halacha part of it, I just want to touch on the concept of the idea of a name. So Ibn Ezra says a beautiful thought. Ibn Ezra says that the roots of the word name, shame, is from the same word as shom. It's spelled exactly the same. Shom means there. So when I want to say, you know, that this individual told me something. He's 5'8", and he has black hair, and he wears glasses, etc. It's very difficult to realize who you're talking about. I tell you his name, you know who I'm referring to. So it's a way to point and say, there he is. So that's the idea of shame. Shame is a way to point and say, there he is. The purpose of shame is to be shom, to put him there and say, there he is. So when we talk about Hashem, we can't see Hashem, we can't point to him. Because when we see certain actions, certain realities, we say, oh, Hashem is here, God is here. That's the bottom line of that sentence. So we talk about the different ways Hashem runs the world are going to be different ways that we're going to see there he is. They are going to be his shemos, his names. So it's rooted back to the word of Shom. That's how the Ben Ezra explains it. I think it's a very, very compelling understanding of it. There is a phrase which we talk about when we talk about the halachas of a person has something which he can't throw out, it's something holy, he has to take care of, we put it in shemos. Well, what does shemos mean? The language of the Gemara actually, or the halacha, is geniza. Geniza means you put it in some form of... you put it into some form of holding it as a treasure. It's gone, it's hidden. The karaganiza, right? So why do you refer to it as shemos? Because the source of the prohibition has to do with Hashem's name. Shame. Back to this word shame. It's referred to shame because of the word shemos, Hashem's name. Where is that? The pasuk talks about in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh that Klal Yisrael was going there to Israel and they should destroy the Avodah Zarah which are there, etc. L'sasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem. You should not do so to Hashem. And the more understands that it means that any place where you have Hashem's name, you can't destroy it. So if you have a sefer where Hashem's name is written, you have a piece of paper where Hashem's name is written, you can't destroy it. It's going to require some type of processing that it shouldn't be actively destroyed, or it shouldn't even passively destroyed if possible. Limit the process in certain situations. So hence, what we halacha refers to as geniza became colloquially known as shemos. And that's one usage of the idea of shame. We'll talk about that today also. Before I get to that, I want to just talk about what the names which we use regularly, what they mean. What are the names which have the holy status, and maybe even discuss how to pronounce them appropriately, correctly. Some of them are, sometimes Mishnah Berurah mentions this point, that there's different people do not pronounce them appropriately. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses that when we say Hashem's name, it's written one way and it's pronounced another way. We write it with what's referred to in the phrase of the Shulchan Aruch, etc., as Havaya. It's a name of Hashem which represents existence. He's the source of all existence. But we say it with a lashon of Avnus. Hashem is the master. Hashem is the one who's in control. And this is based upon this week's parsha, that not the way I'm written am I going to be read until in the future, there'll be a point in time where that's going to be so. But meanwhile, that's not so. The way Hashem's name is written, it's not to be read. We'll talk about that hopefully in the year as well. So since we're saying that we say Hashem's name is Adnus, so we have to, the message of that is that he's a Dar HaKol. He's the master of all. So when a person, whenever we say Hashem's name, being... the way we pronounce Hashem, the way we pronounce it normally, the person supposed to have in mind, Hashem is the master of everything. The Shulchan Aruch says, but that's only how you read it, but you also write it. The message of the way it's written is that Hashem is Hoya, Hoya, Hashem did, was, is, and will be. he's an intrinsic existence. Umahavakol, everything came into existence because of him. So he's the source of all existence. So he exists, he's the source of all existence. That's what you're supposed to have in mind, according to Shulchan Aruch. Every time you say Hashem's name, you're supposed to have in mind these points. Adon HaKol, Hoya Hoya V'Yiya, Mahava HaKol. Right, so that's a lot to have in mind every time you say Hashem's name. Every time you say Elohim, so the meaning of Elohim is referred to, it's used, like we find even by the, it's used even not referring to Hashem, referring to Dayan, referring to, it's the idea of authority. But the Baruch Hashem is the one who's in control. It's not just that he's the one who has the ability and he is in control of the world. So he's called Takif, Bal Yecharlus, Bal Yecharlus Kulam. He's strong, he has the ability, and he is the one who's the Bailim of all of the Kaitas. When you say Elokeinu, and you say that he oversees Klal Yisrael specifically. So you have to have that in mind when you say Elokim, every time you say Elokim. I once read I guess you call it a Musar essay about, you know, purpose focusing on the, you know, the purpose of life, etc. So this fellow wanted to bring it out in a somewhat humorous way. So he says, imagine you get a knock on your door, they count this coming, he's doing an audit. Right? But it's not your regular audit, it's a heavenly audit. Right? So they take out, and he puts out, you know, the story whether he takes out the calculator. You know, nowadays he wouldn't be taking out the calculator, but takes out the calculator, he takes out the ledger, etc. He starts going through, you know, says, well, based on, you know, chapter 5, paragraph 1, etc., you know, all these different things, etc. So chapter 5, paragraph 1 is in the archive of Shulchan Aruch. Leib Leo said that when a person comes after 120 years, they ask you, did you keep the Torah? You say yes. He says, okay, no problem. Let's take out, they start going through, they take out the Shulchan Aruch and they start going through chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph. Did you do this or not? And then they tell you how many times you did or you didn't. Right? So they get to this requirements, Archai in chapter 5, paragraph 1. This is what you're supposed to have in mind when you say Hashem's name. They tell him how many times he says Hashem's name in his lifetime. How many, and all of those, 93 times he had the proper intent. And the other 8 million times, whatever it is, you didn't. Like, you know, that was the story, part of the story. It's like, oh, that's a good point, you know. So there's a fascinating idea which is suggested. Mishabur doesn't suggest it over there, but it's suggested, seems to me that Mishabur of the place does accept it. Idea of making a Tanai. A person can make a declaration that when I say Hashem's name, this is what I mean. So I'm going to get up in the morning, every morning I'm saying, it's printed in some Siddurim, that these are the intent when I say Hashem's name is X, Y, and Z. That he's Adon HaKol, Hoya, Hoya, Beviyya, Mahava HaKol. And every time today that I say Hashem's name, that's what I mean. So apparently it seems to work. And it suggests it's a good idea to do it. With the exception of the first paragraph, the first pasuk of Shema. Or with the first pasuk of Shema, it will not work. That being said, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which I saw originally was printed in one of these, they put out memorial safe for somebody who passed away. So it was published there. Eventually it was published and put in the Igros Moshe. And Rav Moshe says that the word God, or the word Gott, he was writing in Yiddish. That's what it means. When we say that word, we have in mind he's the master, he has all the power, etc. So when you say Hashem's name, you think God, that's sufficient. You fulfill the requirements of the Shulchan Aruch of having all these different thoughts in mind by saying, just thinking God. If you say without any thought at all, you would have a problem. You do not fulfill your obligation of saying Hashem's name appropriately. So that's a good.
Does this tonight have to be daily, or should it be weekly, monthly, annually?
Based on this annual ledger, I think we need to have this class the second time next 2 weeks from now, so we can take notes. But go on.
Okay. Can it be done? I mean, realistically, it could be done. You know, once upon a time for a longer period of time. You do find that it counts in halacha as long as you're like. When you start doing something, as long as you're continuing that thought, the original definition remains in place for the rest of that period of time. So a day would seem to be the most logical one of that. But I think that the Mimersha's true. Mimersha really uses, because you can use God for saying Adnos, you can use God for saying Elohim. It has all of those meanings in it. That's what it means. He wrote it there. He says, when the person says the first pasuk of Shema, he says the kavanah is Herzog Yisrael, Yisrael, you should hear this. It says, God is unser God, God is eins. God is our God, God is one. So he holds that that is enough to fulfill your obligation of having the Kabbalah. So that's a good solution for us. There are siddurim which are printed now. They have, you know, every, there's a siddur called Kabbalah Hashem siddur. It has it next to every time it says Hashem's name. It has printed there everything you have to think. So you just have to read the siddur and look at, and there you go. Right? They make life. If you come after 120 years, you come. Person says your siddur is going to heaven. Right? I hope better than that. Okay. Mishra points out when you say Hashem's name, so it should be pronounced appropriately, correctly. So it's the way we pronounce the lashon of adnus. There's a chataf patach under the first syllable, a. That sound, it should be what's called a chataf patach. The chataf patach means that it's not to be pronounced as elongated as a normal a sound would be. It's a shorter sound. Really, it's supposed to be a shwa sound. But you can't put a shwa sound under an aleph. You can't pronounce that. So we add a chatav to it. We add a patav to it. But that's called a chatav. The word chatoif means to grab. It means it's all done quickly. The second syllable, I think, is the most problematic. Is that it's a cholom, which is pronounced oh. And we've heard people say adinoi. Adinoi is not Hashem's name. It's adi. It's ado is Hashem's name. Right. Now, how do you pronounce the cholom? Do you pronounce the cholom like an O sound or an O sound or an A sound or, you know, whatever? Okay, that's not my business. Whatever your Messiah is, that's good enough. But it's definitely not pronounced it or E, Adi. I've heard many people pronounce it. You know, my understanding is you would not answer amen to that bracha. A person got up to the Amma one time in the shul and I said Adi, and I didn't answer amen. It's not Hashem's name. It's a challenge because people sort of like lapse into it, you know. The last point that Mishnah Berurah points out is that it's to be pronounced Milarah. It's also a little bit challenging. Milarah means that in Hebrew pronunciation, the pronunciation in general are either on the ultimate syllable or the syllable or the penultimate syllable, the last syllable of the word or the syllable before the last syllable. You never have pronounced at the beginning of the word. You can have a secondary, some words which are longer words, you can have, sometimes you have two stresses of pronunciation, the primary one being later and there's a secondary stress earlier, but you never have the primary stress. If the word has only two syllables, then it could be the first syllable. But if it has multiple syllables, it's either on the last syllable or the second to last syllable. But over here, it's to be pronounced. The Behuti says, and others say, that it's to be pronounced on the last syllable. So here, a person comes along and says, you know, I want to be very careful. I pronounce the O sound, like ado. So you stress that part of it, so then you end up stressing the middle syllable. That's incorrect either. Also, you have to stress the last syllable, not the middle syllable. So, challenge to get it right, but that's fine. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that a person should not say Hashem's name with his head uncovered. So that's where you probably familiar with somebody usually from the older generation, like, you know, they would go bareheaded, but when they make a bracha, they put on a yarmulke.
Rabbi, with all this, we're not really saying Hashem's name. This is what we say instead of Hashem's name. So how is it that if you're not saying it right,
because
it's not actually his name we're saying. That's the point.
That's a hard way of saying it, because we passed that one of the Shem Hashem and Mechakim is Adnos.
Oh, right.
So it's one of the seven names of Hashem, which is not Nimchak, even if you write it. But Hashem Society Tiv Tachav Ginnish Van Esrei, over there, it's written Aleph Dalad Nun Yun.
Right.
It's not written with the Yud, but it's considered one of Hashem's seven names. So it is one of the names of Hashem. It's not the Shem, this primary name, which we don't pronounce at this point in time. So it should not be said, the person should not say it without it, with his head uncovered. Ramesh has an interesting shuva. Ramesh has a little bit of a side issue. There's arguments nowadays that a yarmulke, the big discussion on the yarmulke is something which something which is meikar din. It's only a davar toiv. It's something good to do. It's something which is required. Rav Moshe comes out in his tshuva is that it's in general it's a davar toiv nowadays. It's not meikar din, with the exception of during davening, because since the nowadays the minhag of the goyim is v'dafka to bear their head when they're saying their prayers. So a person would bear his head when he's saying prayers. He'd be over this, so the Taz says, of acting like the goyim, because the goyim, that they bear their head when they're saying prayers. So Rosh says that he had a psak, which he paskin, the case where a person was davening and his talus fell off his head and pulled the yarmulke with. So he was bareheaded. He realized that in the Shemoneh Esrei, he took a few steps back, he realized he davened bareheaded. And Rosh says he has to be davening. He's not yet to davening, because it would be an issue to do that, and therefore he's not yours to dominate. Okay, the seven names of Hashem, which we deal with with this kedusha that halacha l'sasu kel Hashem Elokeichem, are the Shem of Havaya. There's the Shem of Adnus, which is the way we pronounce it. Elokim, Eloka, Kael, Shakai, and Tzavokos. So those are the names which have halacha that you cannot say them, you cannot be moichik them. We also have halacha of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. So the Gemara says there's an issur of saying Shem Shemayim Levatola, saying Hashem's name for no purpose. So we have an issur when it's written, you have to deal with it. You shouldn't in some way cause any type of destruction to it. You can't destroy it. Besides that, we have a halacha that in speech, a person is not allowed to say one of these names, Levatola. This is independent of the issue of saying a Bracha Levatola. Bracha Levatola is Lo Sisa, according to the Rambam, that's the Raisa, according to the other Mishnah, that's the Rabbanon. But there's the Gemara says there's a pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you have awe from Hashem. The part of the awe from Hashem means that you don't feel comfortable throwing his name around. Like the same way you wouldn't feel comfortable throwing the name around of somebody of great stature, you would only say his name when it's appropriate to say it. So the same thing is true when it comes to Hashem's names. If a person says it in the context of a bracha, there's another problem with bracha levatola, which is a separate problem. The question which comes up is a person, so to say Hashem's name in davening, obviously that's appropriate. To say Hashem's name in the learning Torah, you know, reading, he's reading Chumash, that's Hashem's name. You know, that's an appropriate place to say it. What about a person learning a Gemara, the Gemara quotes a pasuk? Should he say the word Hashem, or should he say the actual name of Hashem? So it's actually preferred in halacha, Mishnah Berurah, it's actually preferred in halacha to actually say Hashem's name. It's because when here in the context of learning, and you're quoting this pasuk over here, this is Hashem's name. This is you're changing the pasuk, as it were. You're not supposed to change a pasuk when you say the word Hashem. You're supposed to say the actual name. Just to say it for no purpose, that shame is not at all. But here, it's part of learning. Learning is appropriate place to say it. Now, how much do you need to say Hashem's name in that case? So there's this thought out there. People think that, you know, the amount you need is you have to say the whole phrase, the whole pasuk. So actually, the Chayyim says that's not true. As long as you say a phrase of the pasuk which has made sense. So what you're saying would be Hashem. You're saying Hashem's name in context of part, a Torah thought. So that's appropriate. That you can say, like, you don't need the whole pasuk. Yeah.
Like Hashem Tilcha, that'd be enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what about saying Hashem's name in Zmiris? You know, something which was not part of Torah, something which is written by a poet. Can I say Hashem's name over there? So the correct answer is yes. It's there. It's written as a praise to Hashem. I'm saying it with appropriate purpose and function to praise Hashem. So you can say Hashem's name. That's why many people, when they say the Zmiris, say Hashem's name. Now, a person should be careful under the circumstances to not interrupt in the middle of the thought, because then you lose. Then a person interrupts in the middle of the Zmiris, which is no luck that you can't interrupt in the middle of the Zmiris. It's not like you're dominating. So somebody says something, you see, you might say Hashem's name in the middle of the thought, before you finish the full thought. respond to the person, that's going to be inappropriate. And that's why many people don't say Hashem's name in Zemiras, because of that concern. I had a Rebbe who did not say Hashem's name in Zemiras. He says, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch Chaim Siman Hey. If every time you say Hashem's name, you have to have all these kavanas in mind. So when I have to say it, I have to, without like saying extra, and worry about having saying it without the kavana, I'm not going to make it up worse. Like, you know, hello. You know? So that was his thought process. But he, but you know, if you go with straight halacha, there's nothing. It's actually something. It would be appropriate to say Hashem's name. You're praising Hashem. It's a beautiful thought. You know, whatever the zmiras are, you should say Hashem's name. But you have to be careful not to lose the thought.
So really, under that, would you say Baruch Hashem? Would you say Hashem's name there? Would that be inappropriate? Because you're saying Baruch Hashem.
Theoretically, you could. I think that I would not advise to do that, because that's used so freely. I had a story which was, well, you know, that one of my chaverim told me he was in city X, you know, home for Ben Hizmanim, and he comes back and says, Ellie, I have to tell you the story. He goes to a store, you know, and this is like a Hamish type of store. There's a sign on the store which says, Mem Hay will be back at 1:30. So he says, what's Mem Hay? Fikat Mir Tashem. Now the phrase is not Mir Tashem, it's Im Yir Tashem. If Hashem will, you know, Hashem will allow, it's Im with the it's not Mem. But the guy was like so not, you know, thinking or not even familiar, Mir Tashem, you know, so he wrote Mem Hey, Mir Tashem. So we use Baruch Hashem close to the way we use Mir Tashem. I would not advise saying Hashem's name in that circumstance. You shouldn't say, you definitely shouldn't say Mirza and then say Hashem's name, because Mirza is not a word.
Right.
So I think that's what the Mor talks about, the idea of, you know, we had the Mor in the Dorim, which they actually would, the correct way to say a full netter is you say Korban Hashem. The Mor said not to do that because we're afraid you're going to interrupt in the middle of the phrase.
Right.
So they changed it they made this word a called karnom instead of carbon, that people shouldn't use their phrase because you're going to interrupt in the middle of the phrase. See, halacha was concerned about that possibility. Okay, this is a guest round. This is about, we covered about a third of the material which is here, but we'll stop here for now.